Al-Bayan Radio presents Prophetic Pearls, a brief explanation of the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi presented by Nidal Ayyubi.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters, and welcome to our series Prophetic Pearls, a brief explanation of the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah. Today we have reached hadith 29. Tell me of an act which will place me into paradise.
Al-hadith التاسع والعشرون عن معاذ بن جبل رضي الله عنه قال قلت يا رسول الله أخبرني بعمل يدخلني الجنة ويباعدني من النار. قال لقد سألت عن عظيم وإنه ليسير على من يسره الله عليه. تعبد الله لا تشرك به شيئا وتقيم الصلاة وتؤتي الزكاة وتصوم رمضان وتحج البيت. ثم قال ألا أدلك على أبواب الخير؟ الصوم جنة والصدقة تطفئ الخطيئة كما يطفئ الماء النار، وصلاة الرجل في جوف الليل. ثم تلا تتجافى جنوبهم عن المضاجع يدعون ربهم خوفا وطمعا ومما رزقناهم ينفقون، فلا تعلم نفس ما أخفي لهم من قرة أعين جزاء بما كانوا يعملون. ثم قال ألا أخبرك برأس الأمر وعموده وذروة سنامه؟ قلت بلى يا رسول الله. قال رأس الأمر الإسلام، وعموده الصلاة، وذروة سنامه الجهاد. ثم قال ألا أخبرك بملاك ذلك كله؟ فقلت بلى يا رسول الله. فأخذ بلسانه وقال كف عليك هذا. قلت يا نبي الله، وإنا لمؤاخذون بما نتكلم به. فقال ثكلتك أمك، وهل يكب الناس على وجوههم أو قال على مناخرهم إلا حصائد ألسنتهم؟ رواه الترمذي، وقال حديث حسن صحيح.
On the authority of Mu'adh bin Jabal radiyallahu anhu, who said, I said, O Messenger of Allah, inform me of an act which will place me into paradise and keep me away from the fire. He, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, said, You have asked about a great matter, but it is easy for whoever Allah, exalted be He, makes it easy. You should worship Allah and not ascribe any partner to Him. Establish the prayer, give the zakah, fast Ramadan, and make the pilgrimage to the house. He then said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Shall I not inform you of the gates of goodness? They are fasting, which is a shield, charity, which extinguishes the sins like water extinguishes fire, and the prayer of a man in the depths of the night, which also extinguishes sins. Then he recited the verses, Who forsake their beds until he reached they used to do. Then he said, Shall I not inform you of the head of the matter, its pillar, and its apex? I said, Certainly, O Prophet of Allah. He said, The head of the matter is submission to Allah. Its pillar is the prayer, and its apex is jihad. Then he said, Shall I not inform you of what controls all of this? I said, Certainly, O Prophet of Allah. He took hold of his tongue and said, Restrain this. I said, O Prophet of Allah, will we be held accountable for what we say? He, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then said, May your mother be bereaved of you, O Mu'adh. Is there anything that has people thrown on their faces, or he said, on their noses into the fire, except that which their tongues reap? Recorded by At-Tirmidhi, and he said, It is a Hasan Sahih Hadith. My dear brothers and sisters, in this very essential hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam described the path that will lead an individual to paradise and keep him away from the hellfire. And this is something which every Muslim needs to know. Every Muslim desires and wants to enter paradise. and wants to be saved from the hellfire. However, the important question is, what is the path to that? What is the path that will allow us to enter paradise and save us from entering the hellfire? And this is the question which Mu'adh radiyallahu an asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Because the Sahaba knew, my dear brothers and sisters, and specifically Mu'adh in this hadith, that man does not have the ability himself to distinguish the path to paradise from the path of the fire, except through wahi, except through revelation, which was given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not leave us to our intellects, thoughts and imaginations. No, He sent the messenger and sent down this book, meaning the Quran, in order to explain the path of paradise and the path of the fire. And therefore, the one who seeks true guidance will learn, will know the way, the path to paradise, and will know how to keep away from the hellfire by the will and permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first part of the hadith, in which Mu'adh asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
أخبرني بعمل يدخلني الجنة ويباعدني من النار.
Inform me of an act which will enter me into paradise and keep me away from the fire. Ibn Rajab rahimahullah, he points out that this was one of the many times the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked such a question. And in general, he says, his replies were approximately the same. The companions radiallahu anhum knew the most important aspect of life, and that is how to be saved from the hellfire and entered into paradise. And this is why a number of them came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask him this very important question. This part of the hadith, my dear brothers and sisters, is also evidence that it's one's deeds that will allow the person to enter paradise by the will and favor and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As he says in Surah Al-Zukhruf, ayah
72.
This is the paradise which you have been made to inherit because of your deeds which you used to do, meaning in the life of this world. However, my dear brothers and sisters, there is a hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, no one's deeds enter him into Jannah, paradise. They said, not even you, O Messenger of Allah? He said, not even me, unless Allah encompasses me in His mercy. And this hadith is found in Bukhari and Muslim. And what this hadith means, my dear brothers and sisters, is that one's actions alone are not sufficient to earn the great rewards and pleasures of paradise. It is only by Allah's grace, by His rewarding a person much more than he deserves, that one is entered into paradise. And furthermore, as Ibn Rajab points out, a person's deeds are also part of Allah's grace and mercy upon him. Hence, both paradise and the actions that lead one to paradise are from Allah's mercy and grace. Moving on to the next part of the hadith, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said,
لَقَدْ سَأَلْتَ عَنْ عَظِيمٍ وَإِنَّهُ لَيَسِيرٌ عَلَى مَنْ يَسَّرَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ.
You have asked about a great matter, but it is easy for whomever Allah, exalted be He, makes it easy. This part of the hadith, my dear brothers and sisters, demonstrates that all guidance is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, Mu'adh radiallahu an is asking about a great matter, but Allah can make anything easy for anyone. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make this difficult matter easy for anyone He wills. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can open a person's heart to faith and to Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make good deeds beloved to the individual and therefore make it easy for him to perform them, and also make it easy for him to avoid the forbidden. That's why every believer, my dear brothers and sisters, should in fact turn to Allah and ask Him for help and ask Him for guidance. So my dear brothers and sisters, this religion is easy for the one whom Allah makes it easy for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says,
فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى اتقى وصدق بالحسنى فسنيسره لليسرى.
As for him who gives in charity and keeps his duty to Allah and fears him and believes in a reward from Allah, we will make smooth or easy for him the path of goodness. But he who is a greedy miser and thinks himself self-sufficient and belies the reward from Allah, we will make smooth for him the path of evil. And these ayat are found in Surah Al-Layl, ayat 5 to 10. So my dear brothers and sisters, Allah will make the path easy for the believer. In the next part of the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said,
تَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ لَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا وَتُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ وَتُؤْتِي الزَّكَاةِ وَتَصُومُ رَمَضَانِ وتحج البيت.
You should worship Allah and not ascribe any partner to Him, establish the prayer, give the zakat, fast Ramadan, and make the pilgrimage to the house. My dear brothers and sisters, in this part of the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Mu'adh that the key to entering paradise and escaping the hellfire is first and foremost the five pillars of Islam, as these are the foundations of Islam. If one performs them properly and well, then one is bound to enter Jannah, paradise, by the will and permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have explained these five pillars previously in this series when we discussed hadith number 2 and 3 of this 40 hadith series. Moving on to the next part of the hadith, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said,
أَلَا أَدُلُّكَ عَلَىٰ أَبْوَابِ الْخَيْرِ.
Shall I not inform you of the gates of goodness? My dear brothers and sisters, these words are a way of attracting the listener's attention. It shows that something of importance is about to follow. And as we shall come to know, the following words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are great and are huge, as they are discussing important actions that will lead the person to paradise after the five pillars of Islam. In the next part of the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says,
As-sawmu junnah.
Fasting, which is a shield. My dear brothers and sisters, since the obligatory fast of Ramadan has already been mentioned in this hadith, this is an encouragement to increase one's voluntary fasting, as the act of fasting is itself a shield, like the shield that one uses in the battlefield. And as we know, the shield protects a person from the enemy, and fasting protects a person from committing sins and from entering the hellfire. That's why, my dear brothers and sisters, it is very important for a Muslim to establish some voluntary fasts in his life, such as the day of Ashura, the day of Arafah, fasting Mondays and Thursdays of every week, or any 3 days of every month, or the 3 days of the middle of the month, the 6 days of Shawwal, and other than them from the voluntary fast, which are recommended to fast in Islam. Moving on to the next part of the hadith, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said,
وَالصَّدَقَةُ تُطْفِئُ الْخَطِيئَةِ كَمَا يُطْفِئُ الْمَاءُ النَّارِ.
Charity, which extinguishes the sins like water extinguishes a fire. Again here, my dear brothers and sisters, this is regarding the voluntary charity, as the obligatory zakat has already been mentioned in the first part of the hadith. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us that through one's charity, one's sins may be wiped away. Allah says,
وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ.
If you disclose your charity, it is well. But if you conceal it and give it to the poor, that is better for you. Allah will expiate some of your sins, and Allah is well acquainted with all that you do. This ayah is found in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 271. My dear brothers and sisters, in general, good deeds may wipe away evil deeds. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily, the good deeds remove the evil deeds. And this ayah is found in Surah Hud, ayah 114. And this also points, my dear brothers and sisters, to the virtues of charity. As charity, my dear brothers and sisters, not only benefits the individual giving it for the sake of Allah, it also benefits those receiving it. And therefore, the benefits are far-reaching and widespread by the will and permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Moving on to the next part of the hadith, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said,
وَصَلَاةُ الرَّجُلِ فِي جَوْفِ اللَّيْلِ.
The prayer of the man in the depths of the night. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, according to Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, the meaning of the Prophet's statement is that the late night prayer also extinguishes sins in the same manner that charity does. This part of the hadith, my dear brothers and sisters, points out the importance of the late night prayer. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this hadith, he quoted ayah 16 and ayah 17 from Surah As-Sajdah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, their sides forsake their beds to invoke their Lord in fear and hope, and they spend in charity out of what we have bestowed on them. No person knows what is kept hidden for them of joy as a reward for what they used to do. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he points out that the people who perform the late night prayer in general are hiding that from the eyes of others. Usually no one sees what they are doing. Therefore, in this ayah, Allah specifically states the reward for what they are doing in a hidden fashion is a great reward that is kept hidden from them. No one can know it now or imagine it. As we know, my dear brothers and sisters, there are many ayat and hadith pointing to the virtues of the night prayer, such as the following hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where he said, the best prayer after the obligatory prayer is that during the depths of the night. And moving on to the next part of the hadith, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said,
ألا أخبرك برأس الأمر وعموده وذروة سنامه.
Shall I not inform you of the head of the matter, its pillar and its apex? That is to say, my dear brothers and sisters, what combines all of these issues for you? So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is continuing his answer as to how to enter Jannah and keep away from the hellfire. So he sallallahu alayhi wasallam first started by stating the minimum that it takes to enter Jannah. Then he sallallahu alayhi wasallam stated how one moves beyond that to the doors of good in Jannah. So now he sallallahu alayhi wasallam is summarizing the whole of the matter with the upcoming instructions, where he says sallallahu alayhi wasallam,
رأس الأمر الإسلام.
The head of the matter is Islam, or submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we know, my dear brothers and sisters, Islam means الاستسلام لله بالتوحيد. Islam means submission to Allah through tawheed, and surrendering to him with obedience and disassociation from shirk and its people. And we've explained this previously. Then moving on to the next part of the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said,
وَعَمُودُهُ الصَّلَاةِ.
Its pillar is the prayer, meaning the mainstay of Islam is the prayer, just like the pillar of a tent and house. A house and roof, my dear brothers and sisters, cannot stand without pillars. In the same way, Islam cannot stand except with the prayer. My dear brothers and sisters, if you were to perform all the deeds of Islam with the exception of the prayer, your Islam cannot stand, just as if you were to get a tent and its pegs without providing a pillar. The tent will not stand. You will not benefit from it. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, it is essential to combine these things. And the most important thing is the pillar. And the prayer is the pillar of Islam. Moving on to the next part of the hadith, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said,
وَذِرْوَةُ سَنَامِهِ الْجِهَادِ,
and its apex or its peak is jihad. Now in Arabic, the word jihad means striving and expanding one's energy. And the Islamic meaning means the Muslim striving to make the word of Allah supreme and to establish his religion on earth. Now the purpose of jihad, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, is not to kill. Rather, the purpose of it is to establish the religion of Allah upon earth, to establish the rule of his sharia subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to bring people forth from the worship of other people to the worship of Allah, the Lord of all people. From the injustice of other religions to the justice of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says,
وَقَاتِلُوهُمْ حَتَّى لَا تَكُونَ فِتْنَةٌ وَيَكُونَ الدِّينُ كُلُّهُ لِلَّهِ.
And fight them until there is no more fitna, and the religion, the worship, will be for Allah alone. Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di rahimahullah, in his commentary on this verse, he says, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states that the purpose behind fighting for his sake, which is not to shed the blood of the kuffar and take their wealth, rather the purpose is that all religion or all worship will be for Allah alone. And the religion of Allah will prevail over all other religions. And everything that goes against that, whether it is shirk or anything else, which is what is meant by fitna, will be repelled. If this purpose is achieved, there will be no killing or fighting. My dear brothers and sisters, as the ulama have said, jihad is of different types and various kinds. Some of which are obligatory upon everyone who is accountable, and some are obligatory upon the community as a whole. If some people undertake them, then the rest are relieved of the obligation. And some kinds of jihad are mustahab, or recommended. From the types of jihad is jihad al-nafs, jihad against oneself, and jihad al-shaytan, jihad against the shaytan or the devil. And this is obligatory upon everyone who is accountable. And my dear brothers and sisters, jihad in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the peak or the apex. As the ulama have said, it is through jihad that the religion is protected and preserved, and also through jihad the honor of the Muslims is protected. Although every act of worship has its great importance, the place of jihad is of special importance. Jihad, therefore, is considered the most important deed after the obligatory acts, as Imam Ahmad and others have stated. And the virtues of jihad are great and are many, as mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us in the hadith found in Bukhari, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, O Allah's Messenger, who is the best among the people? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, مُؤْمِنٌ يُجَاهِدُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِنَفْسِهِ وَمَالِهِ, a believer who strives his utmost in Allah's cause with his life and property. And the true jihad, my dear brothers and sisters, is for Allah's word to be supreme. لِتَكُونْ كَلِمَةَ اللَّهِ هِيَ الْعُلْيَا. And there are many negative consequences to abandoning jihad that have been mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah, such as the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إِذَا تَبَايَعْتُمْ بِالْعِينَةِ وَأَخَذْتُمْ أَذْنَابَ الْبَقَرِ وَرَضِيتُمْ بِالزَّرْعِ وَتَرَقْتُمُ الْجِهَادِ صَلَّطَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ ظُلًّا لَا يَنْزِعُهُ حَتَّى تَرْجِعُوا إِلَى دِينِكُمْ. If you begin to participate in al-'ina, and al-'ina, my dear brothers and sisters, is a type of business deal that is prohibited, which involves riba, and take after the tails of cows, become pleased with agriculture or farming, and leave jihad in the way of Allah, Allah will inflict upon you a disgrace that will not leave you until you return to your religion. And this hadith is found in Sunan Abi Dawood, and also recorded by Ahmad, and has been declared sahih by Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah. Moving on to the next part of the hadith, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said,
ألا أخبرك بملاك ذلك كله؟ فقلت بلى يا رسول الله. فأخذ بلسانه وقال كف عليك هذا. قلت يا نبي الله، وإنا لمؤاخذون بما نتكلم به. فقال ثكلتك أمك، وهل يكب الناس على وجوههم أو قال على مناخرهم إلا حصائد ألسنتهم؟
Shall I not inform you of what controls all of this? I, meaning Mu'adh, then said, Certainly, O Prophet of Allah. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, took hold of his tongue and said, Restrain this. I said, O Prophet of Allah, will we be held accountable for what we say? He said, May your mother be bereaved of you, O Mu'adh. Is there anything that has people thrown on their faces, or he said, on their noses, into the fire, except that which their tongues reap? My dear brothers and sisters, this shows the danger of the tongue and the dangers of speech. A person may utter shirk and disbelief and go out of the fold of Islam. He may abuse the religion, abuse the messenger, and make fun of the religion and leave from the religion of Islam because of what he says. A person may utter a statement of disbelief and it may be lied upon the tongue, but it will render his good deeds useless and he may become a disbeliever. He may also backbite and slander, both of which are among the major sins. He may even give false witness, which is grave and severe. Likewise, he may swear and regularly make oaths, some of which are false oaths that throw the person into the fire. All of these, my dear brothers and sisters, are aspects of speech. At the same time, you can use your tongue for good speech that would give you rewards, such as making tasbih, saying subhanallah, and remembering Allah in the many forms which have been legislated, reciting the Quran, and so on and so forth. So the tongue can be used for good, and as we mentioned, it can be used for evil. It can destroy the individual and allow him to be deserving to be thrown into the fire without him even knowing or realizing. We seek Allah's protection. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned about the tongue. So the wise Muslim is cautious about what he says. A wise Muslim, a Muslim who has taqwa, should only say that which is beneficial for him in this world and the next. And a wise Muslim should even avoid excessive talk. A Muslim should be wise with his speech and only say that which will benefit him in this world and the next. To summarize and conclude, my dear brothers and sisters, this hadith has many benefits, many lessons. From them is that the companions, radiallahu anhum, were very anxious to know the key to entering paradise and escaping the hellfire. Hence, they asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on numerous occasions to guide them to this goal. Also, we learned from this hadith that this question, meaning about what will take you to paradise and keep you away from hell, is a great matter. However, if Allah makes it easy for someone, then it will become easy for him. We also learned from this hadith, my dear brothers and sisters, that the key to entering Jannah is the fulfillment of the five pillars of Islam. They are the foundations of Islam, and therefore they are the key to entering Jannah. We also learned from this hadith that beyond entering paradise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to us the keys to the great rewards in paradise, in Jannah. These keys are, as he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the voluntary fasts, which are a shield, charity, and the prayer during the night, especially during the last third of the night, which extinguish sins. We also learned from this hadith, my dear brothers and sisters, that the main aspect of the issue of entering paradise and escaping hell is Islam, is submission to Allah. And the pillar or the foundation to that submission is the prayer, is the five daily prayers. And its apex or peak or loftiest aspect is jihad in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We also learned from this hadith, my dear brothers and sisters, that controlling one's tongue is what can control one's acts to lead a person to Jannah and save him from the hellfire. And finally, my dear brothers and sisters, we learn from this hadith that the greatest reason for people being thrown into the hellfire is from the effects of their tongues. And with that, we conclude. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to do the actions which will allow us to be deserving of Jannah and to keep us far away from the actions which may take us to the hellfire. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.